Psalm 95 verses 1 and down says this: "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord." This is what we did today, amen? When we come together, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Some people say, well, I can't sing because I'm a little off key. I'm not very gifted in singing. The Bible says, make a joyful noise. So whenever when you sing and you're off key, you're making a noise that is still joyful to the Lord. Amen. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with complaining. Does it say that? No, He says, let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is great God and the great King above all. Say with me, all. All, above all the gods of this world. Some people, they serve different gods. Some people believe in luck, but we believe in the living God, the only God that is above every other gods in this world. We have so much to be grateful for. To God for giving us life and the ability to do what we do. He has been truly faithful to us in every way. Not in some of the ways, but in every way God has been good to us. His mercy that is being renewed each morning. His blessings upon our marriages. His blessings and provision upon our families. He truly has been merciful and good to us. In the Lord's Prayer, we come and pray. We say, give us our daily bread. It's an amazing thing that God didn't have to include that in the Lord's Prayer. Whenever when the disciples wanted to be taught how to pray, Jesus included these words, give us our daily bread. It is so important for us to have the ability to live and exist. We don't live on air alone, but we live with bread as well and water and the provision that God has blessed us with. And the water and the bread, it's so important in our life. We have been blessed with so much abundance throughout this year, especially in the United States of America. Even though sometimes we can complain, God has still been faithful to bless this nation. And this nation not only blessed our communities, but this nation has blessed other nations in the world. And me being originally born in Ukraine, this nation has tremendously blessed us. And remember, it's all because of the faithfulness of God and your obedience as well. Every time when we need a daily bread, God shows up and He gives it to us. Amen. I want to share a few thoughts before I read the scripture. My dad, he's here today. Let's put our hands together for my parents, my family. But my dad, who is here with us today, was born in Ukraine in 1947. And if you have been reading a little bit of history, I'll just give you a quick thing what was going on during that time. Shortly after the famine began in 1932 and 1933, and the famine actually extended many years after that, which was man-made demographic famine that is known as Holodomor. The homes were routinely searched and food was taken away from families and from people. People were being made to starve to death. There was such a hurt in Ukraine during that time. Left and right, children were dying. They didn't have enough bread because the grain was being taken away. They're saying that it was enough grain to sustain Ukraine and it was enough grain to still sent to other nations as they were doing, but it was made by Stalin. It was purposefully to kill the Ukrainian nation, and this genocide is still going on today with the war that is happening in Ukraine. But Ukraine as a land, it was a breadbasket for the nation. That's what it's called till this day. And there's so much fight and so much argument still to this day with the war with Russia about deporting or importing from Ukraine to other nations, the grain. Because This is what our people live on farming. This is what our people survive on, is being able to have their own crops, to feed their families, and also to do business with different nations. But in 1932 and 1933, and a few years afterwards, during my time, even when my dad was born in 1947, as my dad was growing up, he would tell us that he would see children, that they were so hungry, their bellies would get very big because they did not have enough bread to feed themselves and to feed their families. It's an amazing thing to think about that this just happened about 80 years ago, not too long ago. This famine carried an impact for years after it happened. Not only during those 2 years when they were specifically attacked to take the grain away from them. I also remember my grandfather when he was in his 20s. There was great persecution that broke into the former Soviet Union. And they took my grandfather to the labor, to the heavy labor camp where they had to work. Or they had a choice to deny Jesus Christ as their personal savior and go home. As little as my grandfather knew about the Bible, his commitment to the Lord was unwavering. And they began to beat them. They began to do a lot of things that in these days you would think it's even illegal to do. But they were doing all of those things to kill the faith that was in their hearts towards their Savior. As growing up, my grandfather would tell me that their meal was a cup of water and a piece of bread. And he said that piece of bread was so thin that whenever when he would look through, he was able to see everything through the bread. This is the meal that they would get each day. Many people did not make it from that prison. Many people died laboring very heavily on those fields. But my grandfather, God has spared his life. He was able to get out of prison, to marry, having children, living almost to 80 years old, and having close to 400 offsprings off of their marriage. That's the provision of God. But he would share with us that it was hard. Jesus said in the New Testament that man should not live by bread alone, by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. In different words, by every promise that comes forth from the mouth of God. Sometimes in our life, we can have enough bread. We can have enough water. We can have enough meals that we can take even so casually. But for my grandfather, having a piece of bread at the table, he would take it in his hand and he would pray and thanking the Lord. He would show reverence to that bread because he knew the price that he paid for that bread. He was teaching us not to throw bread in the garbage. How many of us are guilty of that? I'm guilty of that. He would encourage us and to say that it's something holy. It's something to be protected. It's something that gives life and strength. It's something that carried him through the prison of years being in prison for faith. And it's something to be protected. And he would teach us to thank the Lord for every piece of bread. I remember if a piece of bread was somehow missed and it fell down on the ground, he would pick that piece of bread and he would eat it because he knew the price of that bread. And the farmers that are here and all of our families that are here, we're so blessed that God has provided each day bread on our tables. Each day he has been giving us water. Each day he has been providing meals for us so we can live for his purpose. Now you might ask, why are you sharing all of these things about bread and water, about your grandfather, about the time whenever when there was famine in Ukraine? I want you to know that, you see, just as a man can't live physically without water and bread, same is true spiritually. Same is true spiritually. We cannot live spiritually without Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. You might be here today in this sanctuary and you've been proud of yourself, of the accomplishments that you made. But we are in this all together. We can have wealth. We can have possessions. We can have hundreds of acres of land. We can have all of those things that God has truly blessed us with. But if we miss one of the most important decisions in our life, we miss the whole thing. If we don't receive Jesus Christ, who said, I am the living bread, I am the living water, that whoever comes to me and eats from this bread, he should not be hungry again. Whoever comes to me and drinks from this water, he should not thirst again. In different words, Jesus was saying that I possess something that I am willing to give it to you. That whatever what you're laboring for year after year, you're putting your faith and trust into the grounds to be able to produce the results for us to live physically. Jesus is saying, if you come to me, as much as you need to live physically, you also need to live spiritually. And if you come to me, I'll give you what you need. I died on a cross for your sin. So no longer now you can be an outcast. No longer now you can wander in the world without purpose and hope. But this purpose and hope can be found in Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. I would like to read to you now what the Bible says. There was a time when Jesus was preaching the gospel. And he was walking in the earth, and there was a few thousand people that gathered together. They wanted to hear Jesus. And the disciples, they wanted to send them away. But Jesus saw that they're hungry. You see, Jesus not only cares for our spiritual life, but he also cares for our spiritual life and physical life. And he says, no, you give them something to eat. And they said, well, we don't have a whole lot. We have five loaves of bread and two small fishes. It doesn't say two big fishes. The Bible says specifically two small fishes. And this boy brought this lunchbox. And Jesus lifts up the bread, lifts up the fishes. And the Bible says, and he began to complain that it's only five breads and two fishes, right? No, he said he began to give thanks to the Lord. Even the little that he was, Jesus was saying, thank you, Father, for what I have. Oh, I don't have enough. It's only two fishes here. It's only five loaves of bread. But it's about 5,000 people here. How am I going to do this? He did not complain. But he lifted it up and he gave thanks, as we're doing this morning. Thank you to the Lord for the abundance and for the lack. We're still thanking the Lord because he's still good and he's still faithful to his word, because we have just enough. Praise be to God. We thank him for the abundance and for the lack even sometimes, but we're still to thank him. And the Bible says that later on, Jesus departed and he began to walk on the sea. This is when the storm happened with the disciples, and he began to speak peace over the storm. But this is the scripture now that I would like to read with you together. And if you have the Bible, if you can open up with me to the book of John, chapter 6, verse 22 and down, and we'll close in a few moments. The Bible says this. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread. You see, again, they remembered the moment, whatever, where they were eating physical bread. And they came near that place again, expecting to be fed again. After the Lord had given thanks, then the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there. Not his disciples, they also got into the boat and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Why were they seeking Jesus? Because they loved the miracles? Because they wanted to be saved? No, they wanted his provision. You see, there's a category of people that are seeking the Lord for His provision. God, as long as You're giving Your provision, I'm good. I'm good. But now, later on, Jesus is starting to talk with them and revealing something much deeper than the 5 loaves of bread. Verse 25. And when they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said to Him, Rabbi, when did You come here? Verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. In different words, Jesus is saying to them, you missed the miracle that happened. When I picked up those 2 fishes and I picked up those 5 loaves of bread, and I lifted my voice and my eyes to the Father, to the Creator of all heaven and earth. And whenever when I gave thanks for the little that I have, God was faithful to multiply it. There was a miracle. There was a miracle. And thousands of people were fed. And now, these people are looking for Jesus to be fed again. And Jesus is saying, you're not looking for Me because you saw the miracle that I can do. But you're looking for Me again because you're hungry. You want to fill your stomach again. The food is gone, the bread is gone, and you're coming again to Me only the time of need. Whenever when you're filled, you're missing the opportunity to come to Me and seek Me as a good Father, as a Savior. But whenever when you're in trouble, whenever when your stomach is growling and says, I'm hungry, this is the moment when we're running to Jesus and we're looking for Him, especially in the moments where we remember He met us. And the Bible says that Jesus began to talk with them and says that that's why you're searching for Me, because I fed you, not because of the miracle. Verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. Now He's talking about Him, Himself. God the Father having favor upon Jesus Christ as the Son of God to be that living bread. Verse 28. Then they said to Him, what should we do? And some of us that are here this morning, hearing this gospel message, there is good news of hope. You can put yourself in the category of the disciples searching for Jesus only whenever when something is lacking, whenever when we're falling short, instead of following Him for the miracle that happened on a cross. And whenever when Jesus talked with them, there is one paragraph that they're saying, what shall we do? 4 words that changes everything. Are you here today that you don't have peace with God? If you're here today that you're searching for something that you can't even explain, but you're living, feeling like you're existing, you're doing same old, and you're only crying out to the Lord whenever when you're in trouble. God wants to fill your heart because He is the miracle-making God. He died on a cross and rose from the dead, so now we can follow Him just because of that. Praise be to God. And this morning you can say together with the disciples and the people that were there, what shall I do? What shall I do when I hear this message? That we may know the works of God. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you might labor very, very hard to please God. Does it say that? It does not say that. If you try to please Me, and if you try to be good, if you try to fulfill the commandments, if you try very hard and you pray 24 hours, you always strive to reach out to Me in heaven, you will be blessed. No, it doesn't say that. But Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him who sent Me. So if you want to please the Lord this morning, if you've been trying to please Him with your strength, with your works, with your good works, no, the works of the Lord is that me and you might believe in Him. might believe. And whenever we believe in Him, whenever when we have faith in our lives in the person of Jesus Christ, the works will follow. We don't serve God by works to please Him, but we love Him, we believe Him, and works follow because we do that. Amen. Therefore, they said to Him, "What signs will you perform then that we may see and believe you?" Are you kidding me? You just saw the other day the biggest miracle ever. They're looking again for signs. And he continues and says, "What works will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, and it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven." In different words, we did not obtain what we have in our own lives, but the Father has blessed us with. And over here, even the manna from heaven in the Old Testament, it was not Moses, but it was God, the Father, who sent the bread. And now that bread, that is a type, Jesus Christ Himself shows up years later to say that I am that bread. And he continues and says, "My Father gave you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gave His life to the world." He's talking about Himself, Jesus Christ. Verse 34, "Then they said to Him, Lord, give us this daily," or "give us this bread always." Daily bread or always. You see, they're still thinking this is something that we can touch and there's something that we can just have for the meal. But Jesus is talking something so, so deeper. That daily He can feed us. Daily He can be that bread. Verse 35 says this. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst again." Verse 40 and down says this, "And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life." This is our story, that the will of the Father no longer is just to provide all of us with physical bread that we need and physical water that we need to live physically. But He says, "I see a spiritual wilderness. I see emptiness in your life. I see hopelessness. I see that you live without purpose. And for that reason, I'm going to send my Son, Jesus Christ, on this earth to die on a cross, to become that living bread. And now, he who believes in Him shall live forever by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ." How do I do this? How do I have this life? The Bible calls that we must be born again. As we were born physically years ago, we have a birthday day and we celebrate each year this birthday. We are to have a new birthday, spiritual birth that can be birthed and can be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we become born again? As Times Square Church campuses, we say as easy as A, B, C. A, admit you're a sinner. The Bible says that all of us were born in sin. All of us are sinners. You mean even the worship team? Yes. You mean even the pastors and the elders? Yes. We're all born in sin. We're all in need of a Savior. We have a condition that is called sin, and there is no program in the world that can fix it. It must be taken care of only by the power of the Holy Spirit, only supernaturally. God can speak a word when we come to Him and we cry out to Him and we say, "God, I admit that I'm a sinner." The power of the Holy Spirit, that is the third person of God, He says, "I am there to save you and help you supernaturally." Someone once said, "We are not mistakes in need of correction. we are sinners in need of a Savior. Of a Savior. We don't do mistakes. We sin. We don't do, oh, just something wrong and I'm going to get it right tomorrow. No, we're sinners. We sin. We are not in need of correction. But we are in need of a Savior. And this Savior, His name is Jesus Christ. The Savior, He says, I am the bread of life. Not by bread alone physically you will live, but you must live by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We don't need a second chance. We need a second birth to be born again this morning. Admitting that we are sinners and are in need of a Savior. That's all what it takes for you if you're searching for purpose in life. B is believe. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin, for your sin, and for my sin. Jesus lived a life we couldn't live, died the death we should have died, and gave us reward called heaven in return, when we, without Him, deserved to be punished and separated from Him for eternity. Whosoever believes, the Bible says, whosoever, not special people, not the good people that deserve it, but whosoever believe. You might be here and say, I'm the worst of the worst. You don't know what I have done. You don't know my history. You don't know what I'm going through. Oh, Jesus is the Savior for you. He's the Savior for you. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, not some, but whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is offered to me and to you through Jesus Christ. And C is confess. Confess Him as your Lord and Savior. You see, so many people, we just want to be saved. And we say, God, as long as I'm saved, I'm good. I'm still going to live my life the way I want to. No, but whenever when we are born again, whenever when we come to Jesus Christ and we receive Him as a personal Savior, He becomes our Master. He becomes our Lord. No longer I do what I want, but I do what the Bible says I do. No longer I live by my feelings, but I live by how the Word of God is calling me to live. And if the Bible says it's a sin, then I say it's a sin. If the Bible says it's righteous, then I say it's righteous. Why? Because I don't belong to myself anymore. I have a Master, I have a Father. He is my Savior. And I confess Him to be my Lord and my Savior. Not just my Savior, but my Lord. Have you made Jesus Christ to be your Lord? Have you made Him to be everything over your life? In every decision you are making in your life, is He your Lord? Or you're saying, no, as long as you saved me, now I'm just going to live my life. No, He desires to be your Lord and, help me out, your Lord and Savior. Would you make Him as your Lord this morning by saying, A, I admit that I'm a sinner. B, I believe in You that You're the Son of God and there's no hope in this world without You. And C, I confess You to be my Lord and my Savior. In a moment, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to be praying this prayer. And I'm going to ask that if you have made this decision, that I'm going to ask all of us to pray this prayer together. And if you have made this decision, pray with all of your heart. Pray it with all of your heart and believe that God hears you. And it's just a moment. Whenever when you cry out to Him, He hears you and He saves you. Amen. Would we all bow our heads in this room? And all of us, let's repeat after me, for the sake of those that want to give their lives to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because not by physical bread alone you will live and I will live, by the promise of God and by Jesus Christ offering Himself as the bread of life. Please repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe you are the Son of God. And on that cross, you took my sin, my shame and my guilt. So now I can be free. I confess you to be my Lord and Savior. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. Amen. Now, if you have prayed this prayer, would you be bold enough to come and see one of the pastors here after service and to say, this morning I became born again. Born again, as the Bible says, we're not saved by our deeds, we're not saved by how good we are. We are saved by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if you pray this prayer for the very first time and you believe in your heart and you have received Him as your personal Savior, during this song or even after service, we're not gonna embarrass you, but just come talk to us. We would love to meet you and to congratulate you and to put our hands together and give God a shout of praise for what He has done in your life. Because the Bible says, whenever when one sinner comes to the Lord, the whole heaven rejoices. Amen? And I'm gonna invite you to stand. We're gonna sing this song. Talk with Him, praise Him, and worship Him because He's been faithful and good Father. Amen? Let's give God a shout of praise one more time and sing.